bless you, brothers and sisters. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Shall we all stand? We'll ask Brother Yeboah if he could say a word of prayer this morning. Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. I'd like to, for us to change scriptures here just for a second. I just feel to do this. If we go to the book of Matthew, Spirit of bear with me here for a second. Book of Matthew would be the scripture about revealing to babes such as would learn. Matthew, okay, 11th chapter, verse 25. Matthew chapter 11, starting with verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Repeat that one more time. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. I know we've been speaking on the revelation of Jesus Christ, and just felt in my heart this morning as I stepped up here to go to this scripture and then to read something out of the seven seals, God hiding himself in simplicity, then revealing himself in the same. So we read the scripture in Matthew, and here Brother Branham expounds on that scripture a little bit, and I just want us to pay attention here for a little bit on what he's saying here, because you know, sometimes we're not aware of the words of God and they go right over our heads. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he can be speaking to us in such a profound and direct way, but we'll totally miss it because of the way that our mind is framed, because that we've prejudged it with our rational mind or in the carnal thinking, and God is speaking to us in a spiritual manner. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so remember, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And so when he is trying to speak to us, we sometimes think that he's speaking to us in a certain way, and we think that that's what he's saying, but actually it's totally opposite. Unless we have a spiritual mind and getting into the channel of the supernatural, we'll totally miss it. And so I believe that when Brother Branham was preaching these seals, he did not know what these seals would reveal. He had thought in his mind and had an idea of it. But as he began to go through the seals, as he began to sit in the room in the quietness, then God began to reveal and open something that was totally different than what he had understood. And so that's the difference between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. That he says it's so away from your own thinking, you know. And Brother Branham, when he would catch the revelation many times, he would be in the woods. He'd be alone with God. This is not a collective revelation. This is an individual affair that God reveals to us one-on-one. This is the bride and her husband and that open relationship where he is opening himself up to her, but it's not for everybody else. It's not to the public. And so he's got to get us alone. You know, many times you would go in the woods to try to get a revelation from the Lord about a specific answer. You know, he would go out there, he would fast and pray, and then he would receive a vision. Or he would go out to Sabino Canyon, and then God would reveal to him a little bit more of what this third pull was, and he received a sword in his hand. You know, you can go on and so forth. When he was in Sportsman's Hollow, when he was sitting there in the woods, and then God gave him the inspiration to preach the revelation of Jesus Christ in the church ages. And so it is this time, and you know, it's so different from the rest of the way the church works. You know, the rest of the church world thinks, you know, go to church, you know, go to service, go to Wednesday night service, you know, do these things and, you know, have fellowship with the brothers and sisters, and those things are all good, but God is wanting to get a hold of us individually. Amen. And so to be looking and waiting and watching for him. You know, when you look at the type of Enoch and how he walked with God, he wasn't walking with a bunch of other people. He was walking with God alone. And then God took him, right? Elijah, when God was beginning to reveal, he was in the wilderness and he was being fed by the ravens and such. And so there is where God sustained him and kept him. And so we've got to look at the scriptural precedents and be open to the mind of God and be open to the Spirit of God. Now he says this in the message, God hiding himself in simplicity. He says, from this scripture reading, I draw this text, God hiding himself in simplicity, then revealing himself in the same. Now he says this, it is strange to think how that God does such a thing as that. God will hide himself in something so simple that will cause the wise to miss it a million miles and then turn right back around in that some simple thing, in the simplicity of his way of working, and reveal himself right out again. I thought it made a text that we might study this before we go into the great teachings of the seven seals. Many miss him by the way he reveals himself. Now, man has their own ideas of what God ought to be. Maybe some of us have ideas of ways God ought to be. We think that, you know, the next steps are going to happen this way and this way and this way. But has God revealed that to us? Remember, revelation comes supernaturally. It's not this makes sense in putting these A plus B plus C equals this. But it's a supernatural something, right? You never thought of it in your mind, but yet God reveals it to you. And as I have made the old statement many times, that man is still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did do. We praise God for what God did through Brother Branham. And always looking forward to what he will do. There's a rapture coming. We need to get ready for the rapture. And always looking forward to what he will do and ignoring what he is doing. What is he doing right now? And so trying to find what the will of God is and get into the Spirit of God. Now, when we look at the book of Revelations, when John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he sat on that isle, and he was there for a reason, and God allowed him to go into prison for a reason to write this book. And to the natural mind, saying that, you know, this man that was supposedly a chosen vessel of God that was going to do many things, he was an apostle that was right next to Jesus Christ, and he was to be this great person, and now he's in prison by a government under the government's thumb, thrown into prison, boiled in oil, and we know that God delivered him out of that, but they sent him to prison, and so they thought, now he's ineffective. He can't do anything. He can't preach. He can't do all that stuff. We got him in prison, just like the devil thought he had Jesus Christ when he had him crucified on the cross. And so the devil is so smart and intelligent. But the revelation of Jesus Christ goes so past what he can think or fathom. And it goes beyond him, right? But he came in such a simple way. He came in the form of a carpenter that didn't even fight, you know, these Roman centurions that tried to take him. And they just let him take him, and they smacked him, and he never said a word, and all those things. And everybody rejected him. And so this is supposed to be the Son of God?
He came in such a humble way. And then they put him on the cross. And then the devil goes, I got him now, right? Little did he know that was the key thing that God needed to do. Amen. To redeem back you and I. Amen. And to give us the Holy Ghost. And to bring us back to him eventually through the rapture and bringing him us to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And so he had this John in the Isle of Patmos, and so he's thinking that he had him, and then now God is revealing to him the whole plan. And so Brother Branham says that this book of Revelation was a consummation of the ages. It was a full consummation, and you know that scholars and different ones, they tried to discount the book of Revelations. Or they say, oh, it's too confusing, or they say, oh, you know, don't get into that too much. You know, it's just nobody can understand that book. And, you know, that book and the book of Genesis, those two books argued about so much and discounted. But God wanted to reveal his plan through the book of Revelation and show that to us and this people. Because at the appointed time, at the fullness of time, remember the fullness of time from Genesis up to the time Jesus Christ came, then he revealed the fullness of who Jesus Christ was in the body of Jesus Christ. Now he's doing the same thing, going through the ages and revealing himself openly in flesh again. Amen. In the bride of Jesus Christ. So revealing the Son that's in her, and she is a complete revelation of Jesus Christ. So we know where the head manifests himself, but now the body must manifest. So the head and body must unite together in the manifold manifestation. And then the completion of the work. Then Christ and the bride go. And so John was there, and he, remember, if you remember in the scripture, it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And so the only way to know and have the revelation of Jesus Christ is to be in the Spirit of God. And so our prophet showed an example of being in prayer to get into the Spirit of God to receive that revelation of Jesus Christ. Now he reads on further in God Hiding in Simplicity. He said, that's the way they miss it. They look back and see what a great thing he done. But they fail to see what a simple thing he used to do it with. See, and then they look forward and see a great thing coming that's going to happen. And 9 times out of 10, it's already happening right around them. And it's so simple that they don't know it. And so remember, it's only the revelation is only given by grace. Because we cannot have an intelligence to get the revelation. Although you can look at the message in the scriptures and you can put things together, it doesn't come to life, and you don't get the full revelation unless God reveals it to you supernaturally. Satan tried to outsmart Jesus so many times, but God outsmarted him every single time. And so you and I, with our human mind, cannot outsmart the devil. We don't have enough intellect. He is smarter than us in the carnal sense. And so we must rely on Jesus Christ to reveal and open these things to us. And so we walk by faith, led as a lamb by the Spirit of God. We don't have our own thoughts, our own thinking, but we must totally rely upon him. Amen. And so what is faith? Faith is a revelation, Amen. Right? Yes. You have faith because God has revealed to you something supernaturally, and that therefore builds faith, and therefore you have a rock to stand on because you know that is the truth, Amen. Right? Amen. And so Abel knew that. He had a revelation, and therefore he could offer that lamb, and you know, in the face of knowing that Abel, his brother, might think of him differently, might get offended, yet something was driving him to offer that sacrifice and do it that way. He looked at it in the carnal mind. He said, you know, that looks like a better way. But God has shown me this, and I must go with this. There's something, there was an unction, there was something driving him to that direction. You know, every predestinated seed of God, when they receive the revelation of God, it drives them. It overrides everything. It overrides circumstances. It overrides things that they can see. It overrides all that, and it is the only thing that they can focus on, and it drives them to this direction. They can't explain it. They don't understand it, but yet they follow it. It's a faith. And God made all his work so simple that the simple could understand it. And God makes himself simple with the simple in order to be understood by the simple. In other words, he said in Isaiah 35, I believe, he said, though a fool should not err therein. It's so simple. High polished worldly wisdom, educated, always misses him. Now I'm not here, and I know there are school teachers, two or three, that I know of sitting in here. And now I'm not here to contradict school and education and try to support illiterateness. I'm not here for that. But what it is, the people have placed so much upon that until they're, even in the seminaries and so forth, they are missing the very thing that God has put before them. You know how Jesus talked to the Pharisees and said, you know, you say with your words this, but in works you deny him, you know? And many of us say that, you know, we depend on God and we don't rely on intellectual thinking or seminaries or money or job or whatever it may be, success, fill in the blank, whatever. But in works, how do we show that? Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, people can talk a big game, they say, you know, that's an expression. And people can talk about the message, quotes about the message, say this, and they can give you line by line, and they can talk about where it says here, this, and that, and things like that. But what's in their life? You know what I mean? What identification is there? You know, Jesus said that, you know, if you don't believe me, believe the works. For they are they that testify of me. You know, Jesus wasn't much to look at. And let's not just put it out there, okay? Because let's bring it to home. And so there are people, you know, that sometimes that we discount them maybe, perhaps, in our carnal mind. You know, maybe a preacher that doesn't, you know, put his words together, you know, so well. Maybe another brother or sister that, you know, not great stature in society, you know, job or success or money or different things, but they have a humbleness about them, you know. And they don't brag, they just do things, do the works of God. They're behind the scenes. You know, they never talk about what they're doing, and then sometimes you're even surprised, you know, you find out later on what some people are doing, or that they're praying in such earnest. And, you know, I believe real children of God are that sort, you know. They're not trying to make a big show or things like that, but they're trying to just follow the Lord in humbleness and loving God and you know, praying, you know, where nobody can see them and different things like that, you know. And so we've got to not look and get beyond the carnal thinking. Now I'm just going to kind of try to hurry up here a little bit, read a few more things, and then we'll go into a little bit more. We'll go into another scripture here.
Now, when God is just about to do something to deliver his people, God sends a message to the people. And it's so simple, as we'll catch the breaking of these seals. That was my purpose of bringing this first, that we find out that the breaking of those seals is so simple. The smart miss it a million miles. See, I hope that God anoints me for it, see? See, it goes over the top, and that's the reason I thought this message this morning would be appropriate to lay a foundation on the simplicity of God. See how God hides himself in simplicity. Now, if we can turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Remember the scripture, these words are spirit, and they are life. So the word of God is a spirit, and spoken into a word. So taking the spirit of God and spoken into a word. So he's saying that, know ye the spirit of God. We're talking about the word here now. The spirit and the word, they're one. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. How many believes, based on the scripture, that it will be very easily to detect the spirit of God and the spirit of Antichrist? It will not. But yet, a lot of times in our thinking, we try to put off, when we read the message of the hour, we try to make the Antichrist spirit something far off, distant, you know, that's easily discernible, like the Pope or the Catholic Church, when it has always been in the ranks of where God is moving, in the ranks of the message of the hour, in right happening right now here, spirits moving, right? And so we know that the Catholic Church and the Pope and the denominations, that is a further manifestation of those spirits. But if you remember in the book of Revelations, it progresses from a thought to a word, to a deed, to a doctrine, and it has a progression in that way. So first it begins with a simple idea or thought. And so when we look in the book of Genesis, and we talked about that, how the serpent slyly used the change of words, right? Very slight. So he said, remember, God established himself as Elohim, and then he established himself as he created his creation and created his people and his children. Then he became the Lord God, which is a relationship with man and God, God with his family. And then when the serpent came, then he began to speak to Eve in such a way that he, and we don't know how long that took place, but I feel that it didn't happen right away. But it was a talking, you know, establishing of trust, you know. And Eve feeling that this person is part of the creation of God, you know, and then just a normal other part of the creation, just talking, you know, just this one could talk, but the others wouldn't. And so over the period of time, as they had the conversation, they had the fellowship. And remember, Adam wasn't there, the husband, right, who represented the word to her, right? Because God coming down through the man over the earth, and then she being his helpmate, right? So he was gone. God was gone. The word was not present. The representation of the word was not present. And so he beginning to speak.
And then all of a sudden he slips in a word and says, God, yea, hath God said, not Lord God. So he changed the word from the relationship that God had with man to just God himself, just an object of worship just by himself. And so then the progression came. And who knows how long it took from there to says, you will not surely die. Okay? So I'm trying to get you to see something here that, you know, we have to be careful of the spirits that we entertain. Spirits get on individuals. And then they catch that spirit. And then, you know, you talk to them. And then, you know, they may try to talk with you for a while, but there's a motivation of that spirit. It's trying to accomplish something, right? So it may approach you just the same way that the serpent approached Eve. So, you know, welcoming, trusting, you know, you establish that, you know, another believer, right? Brother Branham talks about this in Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. You know, some unbeliever, some critic, come into the congregation, right? Sit under the quietness of things. Blend in with other believers. You know, establish themselves as a position of trust, whoever that may be, whether it's in the pews or a musician or a deacon or, you know, a minister or whoever it may be, coming into a position of trust over the years, right? You know, looking the part. Right? Wearing the suit, carrying the Bible, carrying the message book, saying God bless you, and things like that. And then that there's a spirit on that person. And they begin to talk, you know. And a lot of times you can identify because they like to take people off to the side. And then talk, you know. You know that the pastor is obviously the head of the local assembly, right? And the position is the highest office, correct? That's the message of the hour for the believers. It's the highest office on this earth for the human beings and for the believers. And so, you know, God using that vessel to help lead the people of God by the Spirit, by the calling that that individual has, and by the position that God gives that individual grace to handle that position. Right? And so then taking, you know, people off to the side and start to talk, right? Where the pastor is not around, where, you know, other believers that, you know, can, would maybe cross-check what that person is saying. That person avoids, you know, does it in secret. And then eventually over time, they begin to influence that thinking. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so this has happened throughout the message, right? And just talking and different ideas and using the message of the hour to tilt it in a certain direction. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's a different spirit, yet using the same words and influencing it to another direction. And so you don't see the visible manifestation of it until later, if that person accepts that thought. Remember Eve, she accepted the thought, but she didn't become pregnant till later. She accepted the thought in her mind, then it was received in the heart, and then she gave in to the physical act. And so there's a progression that takes place. It first starts in the mind. And so we have to be very careful. You know, Brother Branham, he got stuck in a trap when he was in going to Africa, if you recall, remember? And so remember, this was early on in his ministry. When we say early on in his ministry, I'm talking about 1947 on, because we know his ministry started in 1933, but that when he got the commission from the angel, I'm talking about that point, 1947 or 1946, 47. In 1951 or so is when he went to Africa. And so when he went to Africa, he went with Brother Bosworth, Brother Baxter, and there was all those people from the Africa cooperation that was going on. And so he went there, and, you know, he was a little, I can say it, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious or discredit the prophet, but a little bit naive, did not understand everything, right? Have we been all there? Yes. Didn't know what was approaching, what he was getting into. And then when he got there, then the people, they began to, you know, try to talk him into going a certain direction that was outside of the will of God, right? And he became trapped. And, you know, when I talk about spirits, let's turn to Ephesians for a second. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So are we fighting against flesh, or are we fighting against spirits? Amen. Spirits, right? So a brother may have a spirit on them, but does that make them a child of the devil? Not necessarily, right? Because they could get a wrong spirit, have a wrong understanding of something, right? I'll tell you a case in point. When they went over there, remember Brother Van had a vision of where to go, meet Cindy Jackson, go to Durban, and preach over there. And these brothers, they were these denominational brothers, they were trying to take him on a specific route because that was agreed on, that was the agenda, that was what was written in stone. And as they were going to do this, remember how highly Brother Branham talks about Brother Bosworth, a true servant of God, talking about how divine healing, that he would be the person to instruct on divine healing. And even as Brother Bosworth left the scene, talking so highly about him. You know, there are people that Brother Branham let us know that there was something not right about something going on in their ministry. He did it in a gentleman way, but not with Brother Bosworth. But yet, during that time, Brother Bosworth said, you know, "I think you're wrong." And I have the quote here. He says, "I think you have a false vision." It's Brother Bosworth speaking. So a wrong understanding, maybe under a wrong influence. Was Brother Bosworth serpent seed? No way. And so that spirit can come in, right? And so somebody could take that spirit and then start injecting that different places. And it may not just be this one doctrine, because we try to, for some reason, we push everything out there. You know, we know two souls is incorrect. We know return ministry is incorrect. And I believe all of us believe that Brother Joseph being the eighth messenger is incorrect. So there's all these doctrines out there, and we put everything out there. But there's other subtle things that you see in the scriptures that the Pharisees were projecting, the Sadducees were projecting, and we've got to catch it with our spiritual eyes of the identification of the two spirits. You understand? And so one identification that he gives in the scripture, 1 John chapter 4, is that they deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now let's bring that a little bit more to home, is that, you know, denying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is denying the power of God working through the individual and manifesting Jesus Christ in this hour. And so we know that the bride is to manifest the Spirit of Christ in this hour, in the flesh, right? Taking that same mind that was in God, taking that same Spirit of God and becoming that and living in shoe leather, right? And so people may not deny that, you know, the bride will be this, right? But when they see the flesh in action, they do things to take away from the bride, to discredit her, to belittle her, and say that person is just a little bit, do you understand what I'm saying? Because the devil's purpose is to take away confidence in the word. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. Now he's trying to destroy confidence by just a little bit of doubt, right? And so, you know, whether it's the prophet trying to put a little bit of doubt of, you know, that of his calling, you know, and what God used him for, and the scriptural manifestation and the fulfillment of that. Some people will try, they'll little bit discredit, little by little, right? And they raise a question here and raise a question there. So that's the prophet. But they will also do that to the bride. So they'll say something about this brother, you know, or, you know, he did this certain thing, or did you see what he did here? I don't think he did that quite right. Or, you know, they try to bring a negative and take away the influence. Now, we're talking about bringing discredit or confidence in the Word of God. So you see the manifestation of Jesus Christ working in this brother, working in this sister, and you see the Word, you know, pulsating through. You see the fruits of the Spirit. You see the identification of Jesus Christ. But then there's others that will say certain things about this brother or sister. Now, I'm going to bring something out here. Taking sides with Jesus. Now, he says, now, I want to take a subject here of taking sides with Jesus. The Pharisees and leaders of his day always tried to belittle him before the public. So he was the manifestation. He was the Word for that day. He was the Word in flesh for that day. He was Jesus of that day. Okay? That was just a way that the devil had of working. All the Pharisees and the teachers of his day constantly tried to belittle Jesus. They, all the throw-off that they could give to him, they done it. They watched him constantly to find where they could find a fault. And they never spoke of his good things. Doesn't Brother Branham say we're supposed to talk of good things, right? In Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, he says, you know, say good things about one another, right? Love one another. You know, that person that's got the poison, if you love them, he'll either get out or be one of you, right? But that was the formula. They were always finding something that they could belittle him about and say, you see, looky here, if he was a man of God, he wouldn't do it this way. I hope I'm pushing back some demons, you know. Or if he was a man of God, he wouldn't do it that way. They were trying to cast a shadow upon him. Remember the quote that Brother Branham preached in Christ the Mystery? He said, a critic or unbeliever. That critical spirit is not a spirit of God. Amen. If he was a man of God, he wouldn't do it that way. They were trying to cast a shadow upon him to get the people to disbelieve him. That's the work of the devil. And that old scheme has never ceased. So spirits don't die. Spirits are happening right now. And I believe we've all seen these spirits, right? We've seen these spirits that talk this way, talking about another, or the thought comes into our mind. Remember, first the thought comes into the mind. Then it starts to become spoken, right? It comes to the heart. So there's a progression there. There's many times that a minister will make a mistake. And if he comes into a neighborhood, a precious brother who is trying to do what's right and to lead people right, everything that the devil can point to the unbeliever, the so-called Christian in that neighborhood to throw off on that man, he'll do it. Always trying to point to a failure. Always trying to point to some misstep or something like that. You know, the real Christian way is to hide everything you can from a brother. Don't tell his bad things, just tell his good things. Now, I'm saying this is what the prophet is telling us, and so this is our instruction. Now, a lot of us are corrected. You know, I myself, I'll be the first one to admit that sometimes I have gotten a critical spirit, but now I know how to deal with it, right? The Word, I want to be subject to the Word. Or I think that way, right? Are we all perfect?
Oh, yes.
We're not. But the blood of Jesus Christ has made us perfect. Don't tell his bad things. Just tell his good things. Just tell what you know about him is good. If anything is bad, let it alone. Poor fellow has got enough against him anyhow. Don't try to take a pole and shove a man further into the ditch. The Christian attitude is pick him up. Take him out of the ditch, see? Don't never try to shove him down. He's down already. Try to help him up. But too many of us today, too many people today, I might say try to do that. If they could just get something another that they could say that was real bad. You know, we want to dig into dirt and things. But that is not the spirit of Christ. And so that is a carnal side. That is the spirit of the devil. And so when we see that, then we know that we've got to get into prayer, got to get into the Word of God and fight off that spirit. I run out of time. Let's all stand. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for the grace and mercy of your Word and what you've shown us, O Lord. Every time that you allow me to dig into this Word, O Lord, and prayer, O Father, it convicts me, O Lord. It shows me my faults, my failures, O Lord. But Lord, it makes me so happy, O Lord, and joyous that you've given us such grace, O Lord, in this hour that we don't rely upon our ability to meet this Word, O Father, but by your grace to bring us to that level. And Lord Jesus, that saying is so powerful and so real. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And so you're bringing us up higher, O Lord Jesus, through the trials, through the testing, O Lord, through the maturity, O Father. Lord Jesus, we look back and we see what you've done in our lives, and it's simply supernatural, O Father. And Lord, we don't want to be discouraged, O Father, but we want to cling to what you have told us in the revelation of your Word, O Lord, in where we are to be. Lord, give us eyes to be able to see by your grace, to be able to see the spirits that are working, O Father, and therefore reject and resist that evil spirit. Lord, help each brother and sister, O Father. Let us all grow closer in love for one another, O Father, as you've instructed us to. We ask all this, also the song service and the preaching, O Lord. Bless it, O Father. In thy name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.